Good morning, everyone. The talk today is going to be about some collaboration that we have had between my institute, CABI, and INEA from Chile, in which, as it says, we are carrying out surveys for entomopathogenic nematodes and entomopathogenic fungi, EPN-DPFs, in Chile. The work is being made possible by funding from the UK government's Darwin Initiative, whose intention is to support biodiversity worldwide by organising collaborations between UK scientists and overseas scientists. Now, both CABI and INEA have had a long record in working in biological pesticide research. But we're very interested in trying to increase the uptake and the commercial use of biological pesticides in Chile. So we wanted to collect large numbers of isolates of hopefully useful EPFs and EPNs in order to provide a stock resource that the biocontrol companies could take over. With this sort of commercialization, there could then be a direct link between financial return and biodiversity. And although biodiversity should have more intrinsic values than that, if you can put a cost onto something, put a value onto something, there is often a lot more interest. We have three basic objectives: A, to do the surveys and hence collect the biodiversity. To ensure that we could maintain, store these isolates in culture collections so they would be available for future researchers and the companies themselves. And to screen for relevant properties. So there would be biological screening to look for the attributes that would be useful for biological pesticides. And there was also molecular screening, molecular characterization, so we'd know exactly what it was that we've got. Now, Chile is a great country for doing this sort of work in. It's 4,300 kilometres north-south, covering 40 degrees of latitude, which is the equivalent of going from the southernmost point of Florida to the most northern point of Alaska. West to east, 200 to 300 kilometres, going from sea level to the high Andes, 5,000-6,000 metres plus. Chile depends very heavily on its agriculture, both for domestic use and for very valuable agricultural exports. And over the last 20 years, there has been quite a marked increase in the use of chemical pesticides within Chile. And we know a number of the problems that can be associated with chemical insecticides, disruption of agricultural ecosystems, pollution of groundwater, soil contamination, possibilities of health problems amongst users, producers, consumers, and problems with residue levels in agricultural products, which can put the markets at risk. Having said all that, they've also been extremely useful for maintaining productivity in agriculture. But at this point, I would point out that when we're trying to develop biological pesticides, the point isn't to produce something that's environmentally benign. What we want to do is to have biological pesticides which are more effective, or at least as effective, but probably more effective than chemical insecticides. And this, we believe, can be achieved. Okay, so the surveys. Essentially, we travel around Chile, going to some of the most beautiful spots. We take small soil samples and take them back to the laboratory and expose them to Galeria. As you know, Galeria are very susceptible to EPNs and EPFs. The Galeria die, we isolate from the cadavers. Right, so we surveyed in six broad areas. I have to apologise that Area 2 has managed to slip down Chile a bit. Survey sites, or survey Area 1, high altiplano, cool, wet, high UV, and very high. Then to the Atacama. The Atacama Desert, one of the driest places in the world. We've also got a salt lake in the background. Now, we did take samples from extremely dry conditions, usually where there was vegetation, but of course even in deserts you do get wet areas. You've got rivers and oases. Then into areas 3 and 4 in more central Chile, more temperate climates, where most of the agriculture is carried out. And although there was a lot of agriculture in these areas, again, we tended to sample from the natural ecosystems. We're then down into region 5, sorry, area 5, Chilean Patagonia. Very, very moist, wet, and cold, medium altitude, and the agriculture largely based around grazing, so lots of pastures. And then as far south as we could get, near Antarctic, Tierra del Fuego, very, very cold, very windy. So what did we find? We have ended up with 98 isolates of EPM. 82 of them came from the southern half of Chile, and all of these were Steinonema species. In the northern half of Chile, we found 19 nematodes, and it was only in the north that we found Heterabditis. Our hit rate, i.e. the number of samples that yielded nematodes, ranged from 1% to quite a surprising 18% in the deep south. With our fungi, Metamecium and Bavaria dominated to an amazing extent. In fact, we've only got 3 Pisolomyces. These Metamecium and Bavaria have been distributed fairly evenly over Chile. So we've got the biodiversity. We are maintaining collections at INEA. The nematodes are being kept cool and well oxygenated and being passed through hosts at regular intervals. The picture and the fungi have been put into long-term storage. On the left here, we've got 40 isolates of Metamecium, and you can get an idea of the morphological diversity from this picture. Right, so to summarise, 150 Metamecium isolates, 184 Bavaria isolates. It seems pretty clear that our sampling process is predisposed to collecting these. However, that's what we've got. The EPFs have all been characterised molecularly, and there's been biological studies done on a large number of them. With the EPNs, as I said, 98 EPNs, most of which were Steinonema. Come back to the fact that the highest hit rate was from the far south of Chile, which did surprise us. Of the 40 that have been characterised molecularly so far, we've got at least one new species, probably 3, of nematodes, and we've also got a new species of symbiotic bacteria. The new species has been investigated in some detail. And this is a new Steinonema species from Area 5 in Chile, from Isla Magdalena off the coast. And this description has just been submitted to the journal, or to a journal in October, and I can say no more about it other than it's the longest of its type ever found, so we're very excited about that. And the sort of biological characterisation that is being done on this new isolate, looking at the host range, and it's got, it kills quite a lot of pest species, which is nice. With the temperature profiling that we've done, it kills at temperatures between 7 and 33 degrees centigrade, but it will only kill and successfully reproduce at 10 to 30. It survives an hour at 37 degrees centigrade and a day at minus 1. And it travels, it can move 13 centimetres in three days. Okay, to summarise, we found lots of isolates, not too surprising. We've got a few new species with EPNs, and this should be a very valuable resource for Chile's biocontrol commercialisation. And ecosystems are vulnerable. We took some samples from quite close to a dormant volcano, and 3 weeks later, our trial site had vanished under the lava. Okay, I I will thank our really truly superb collaborators from Chile, Loreto Marino and Andres France, Steve Edgington for putting together this presentation and selecting a pretty horrible picture of me, and Darwin Initiative for funding the project. Thanks very much.
We have time for one question.
Yes.
With your entomopathogenic fungi, you have a lot of isolates. Are you looking at whether any of them will be able to be mass produced, or what is that part of your group's work, or is that really?
The question was, with the fungi that have been found, will we be looking at the ease of, and success of mass production? We've got far too many isolates to investigate in depth, but that would be one of the main characteristics that would be looked at, yes. So we would want to screen for the attributes which we think would be most useful, and then check on the mass production. Yeah. It happened because, well, two things. We've been trying to collaborate with Chile for a very long time, and in the 15 years that we've been working with them, they've moved from starting their insect pathology capability to being incredibly good at doing this. And Chile's got an amazing range of ecosystems. So in effect, we've got isolates which have come from the equivalent of very many parts of the world. And of course, with the difficulty sometimes of transferring isolates, it was just a very suitable country to work with.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay.
Good job.